From Hollywood, the Judy Canova Show. Brought to you each week by the Colgate Palmolive Feet Company, makers of Halo Shampoo to glorify your hair. And the new 1948 Super Suds with extra suds for extra whiteness. The Judy Canova Show with Mel Blanc, Ruby Dandridge, Joe Kearns, Ruth Perrott, Gerald Moore, The Sportsman, Charles Danton, his orchestra, and starring Judy Canova.
I'll dance at your wedding. I'll dance at your wedding. I'll dance at your wedding. I'll have a wonderful time. I'll jig with your father. I'll joke with your mother.
I'll jive with your brother. I'll really cut it fine.
I'll kiss all our men folks,
young and old and red.
I'll make believe I just came in
and kiss them all again.
I'll dance at your wedding.
I won't miss that wedding.
I'll dance at your wedding.
Am I gonna shine at your wedding and mine?
Well, like many of us, Judy keeps a diary in which she records the important events in her life. At the moment, she's busy making her latest entry and discussing it with Aunt Aggie.
Judy, how far along are you with your diary?
Oh, I'm writing about the holidays, Aunt Aggie.
Oh, Judy, aren't they having terrible holiday weather back in New York State? Did you see the headline in the paper? It says, Storm Freezes Buffalo's Milk.
Who wants to milk a buffalo anyhow? Hey, you know, Aunt Aggie, I read that it's so cold back there, a fella had to defrost his dog.
He frosted his dog.
Yep, he was a water spaniel. Defrosted, yeah.
Well, Judy, speaking of the holidays, Santa Claus was good to you. You had some lovely gifts, especially that picture of the Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa?
Yes, that's the beautiful woman with the mysterious smile. I wonder what that mysterious smile means.
Chuck, she probably knows where she can get two tickets for the Rose Bowl game. Golly, good seats sure are hard to get. Last year, I had to sit way, way up in the grandstand.
How high up were your seats, Judy?
Well, I ain't sure, but when I opened my mouth to cheer, an eagle put a worm in my mouth. She thought she was my mother. Oh, somebody's at the door. Come in.
They're taking me back. They're taking me back!
Who are you?
Oh, I'm just an old Christmas tie.
Judy, with all the holiday excitement, I bet you haven't figured out what you're going to do for your next radio program.
Yes, I have, Aunt Ag. I'm going to take some of the things I've written down in my diary and put them on the air.
Oh, do you think it'll work, Judy?
Oh, sure. Well, I can look in this diary and tell you where I was on any day you name.
Well, just for the fun of it, where were you on December 27th, 1943?
Just for the fun of it, I was in a parked car in Griffith Park. Yeah, me and my boyfriend was watching the game of night baseball.
Well, Judy, they don't have night baseball games in Griffith Park.
Well, how do you like that? He told me we couldn't see the players because the floodlights is burned out. looking and peeking.
Judy, I don't want to pry into your affairs, but what was the biggest romance in your diary?
Oh, page 78 tells about it. It was last October, the night that handsome Humphrey Cooper came over and we sat on the love seat. Golly, he was romantical that night. I'll never forget.
Judy, this is wonderful sitting here together.
Yeah, Humphrey.
You know, I always feel that there's a closeness, a romantic closeness, when the one you love is sitting in your lap.
Yeah, but let's change places. You're getting pretty heavy. Well, Humphrey, what do we do now?
What do a boy and girl usually do under these circumstances? Don't you ever go to the movies?
Sure I do.
Well, what does the hero always do at the end of the picture?
He kisses his horse. Well, he does.
Judy, please be serious. You don't know how I feel about you. I think you're the most beautiful, the most glamorous, the most intelligent girl I know. I'm talking cold turkey.
That might be cold turkey, but you sure pouring a lot of hot gravy on it. Boy,
Judy.
That bird up anymore, no telling where I'd wind up.
Judy, don't be like that. I'm not one of these kiss-and-run guys. Someday I want to settle down and get married.
You know my phone number.
I want a nice home of my own.
You know my number.
And I want children, too.
You know my number.
I want to have 9 or 10.
Sorry, wrong number.
Judy, you can't put me off any longer. Here, I'm going to kiss your hand.
Why? Is my face dirty? Humphrey, I got lips. Why bother about my hand?
Well, that's the continental manner, Judy. Kissing hands is the way they do it in Europe.
No wonder those people over there need help from America.
Judy, why waste precious moments in conversation? I want to hold you in my arms.
Humphrey, please.
I want to press you close to me.
Humphrey, please.
I want to smother you with kisses.
Humphrey, please.
Please what?
Please get busy and don't talk so much. Humphrey, no, I just can't understand you. You say let's not waste time in conversation, and all you do is stand around and plumb discouraged, you know?
Judy. Judy, that ought to make a splendid scene for your radio program. Tell me, what was it that first attracted you to Humphrey?
Oh, I don't know. I guess it was his charming manners, Aunt Aggie. Oh, boy, what a thrill it was when he'd come up to me, bow from the waist, and in that deep, romantical voice of his, he'd say,
"Pardon me for talking in your face, Senorita."
Oh, Pedro. Say, I just been looking through my diary, and I read about the day you came to work for me. What did you do before that?
Well, Senorita, I was a prize fighter in a candy factory.
A prize fighter in a candy factory? What did you do?
I used to box chocolate.
You boxed chocolates? Did you ever win?
See, I licked a lot of them. Senorita, I have a diary, too. Last night I wrote in it after I had a blind date with a girl. Golly, that girl reminded me of a used car.
In what way, Pedro?
Well, she had a bad paint job. My body was out of shape. Her clutch was slipping. But boy, did she have a tank capacity. Senorita, that wasn't the worst of it. I didn't like the way she used her makeup.
Well, what was wrong with her makeup?
One good touch of lipstick brought out her lips. One good touch of rouge brought out her cheeks. One good sneeze brought out her teeth. Senorita, I have another date for her tonight.
Well, Pedro, if she's so homely, why do you go out with her?
Well, no other girl will go out with me. I'm too proud to ask a man. Well, I will go now, Senorita, and always remember 30 days, Hacienda, April, June, and Sombrero. All the rest have 31 except Gypsy Rose Lee, and everybody knows what she's got, no? Senorita, you want me to drive you to that New Year's Eve party at NBC?
Oh, no, thanks, Pedro. I'm going to stay home and celebrate. I'm going to take all my old clothes and my new clothes and put them in the washing machine.
Well, how will that help you celebrate New Year's Eve?
I'm going to ring out the old and ring in the new.
Happy New Year, Mr. Petrie.
And a happy New Year to you, Mr. Barkley.
Will you please extend best wishes for the new year to Mrs. Barkley? And a timely suggestion.
It wouldn't have anything to do with new 1948 Super Suds, would it?
What else? Tell her just to try those extra suds for extra whiteness. Remind her that no other soap in the world can remove more dirt. Wash clothes cleaner. Wash clothes whiter. And she'll need no bleach. Tell her it was proved that just one box of new Super Suds can make enough suds to fill a trolley car. Suds that are gentle on hands and bright colors, too. Why, I predict that in 1948, every week we'll find more and more housewives rushing to buy new 1948 Super Suds with extra suds for extra whiteness.
No other soap in the world can wash clothes whiter. And you need no bleach.
Super Suds, Super Suds, extra suds for whiter duds.
Now back to Judy Canova, the sportsman, and all of civilization.
Morning, a missionary advertised with neon signs. He tells the native population that civilization is fine. And three educated savages holler from a bamboo tree that civilization is the thing for me to see. Bongo, 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 I don't wanna leave the Congo. No, 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 no.
Bungle, I'm so happy in the jungle.
I refuse to go.
Don't want no jailhouse, shotgun, fish, hooks, golf clubs, noise in my ear. So no matter how they coax me, I'll stay right here.
And as our safari moves deeper and deeper into the jungle, we see many tracks of wild game. Darkness closes in, and bashful eyes gleam at us from the brush. Now we are approaching our destination, the most isolated and remote spot on the globe. There ahead we see a native. He sees us. Now he screams a warning to the rest of the tribe.
Run for the hills, boys! Here comes the revenuers!
Send that clear a county.
Just no water, leave this mountain.
No, no, no. If you ain't careful, stranger,
I am mighty fearful. You
have misery. Don't need no jazz bands or drumming.
Hurry inside, plumbing.
You are naked clear.
Now you better start a moving.
Cause we ain't to stay right here. Civilization. We ain't to stay right here.
Program. It's all about my big romances.
Golly, if I could put my romance with Palmer on the radio, I sure could make a lot of money.
Uranium, are you still looking at the end of the rainbow for that pot of gold?
Oh, honey, I'm only looking for the gold. I already got the pot.
Well, never mind, Uranium. It's plain to see that where Pomeroy is concerned, you fill the bill completely.
Honey, I not only fill the bill completely, I overflow.
Say, you sound pretty sure of yourself. Has Pomeroy ever told you what he really thinks of you?
Oh, yeah, Miss Judy. He says I'm like a snowman.
A snowman? How come?
Because a hottie squeezes me the first I melt.
Geranium, you better be careful. Don't you know there are thousands of germs in kisses?
Just don't bother me none, honey. When Pomeroy kisses me, if it don't get crushed to death, it gets barbecued.
Judy, how are you coming along with the script for your radio show? Did you get any more ideas from your diary?
Oh, yeah, Aunt Aggie. I've been reading about the day in school when I wrote on the blackboard, Judy Canova is the best kisser in the class. Then the principal made me stay after school.
Oh, goodness, what happened?
Well, I ain't saying, but it sure pays to advertise.
Judy, what's this item on page 45 of your diary?
Oh, that tells about my last birthday, Aunt Aggie. You remember I was expecting my boyfriend Humphrey to come over, and you and I were sitting in the sun parlor waiting for him. Just then, the door opened, and Geranium came in all excited.
Miss Judy, your boyfriend, Mr. Humphrey's in the waiting room looking for you, and looks like he's got a birthday present for you.
Oh, boy, thanks, Geranium. I'll go right in and see him.
Geranium, did you happen to see what Mr. Humphrey brought, Miss Judy?
Oh, no, ma'am, it's all wrapped up, but he told me he's giving her what she wanted most. A new
griddle.
A griddle? Where did he get that idea?
Well, he must have seen it written on a birthday list. At the top of the list, she wrote, I want a nice new griddle.
Oh, gracious, Judy's bad spelling again. She meant a nice new girdle.
Well, ma'am, all I know is that he didn't buy a girdle. He bought a griddle.
Oh, my goodness. Poor Judy. I wonder what she'll do when she discovers the
I sure am excited, Humphrey. Geranium says you got a present for me.
Yes, Judy, I saw that first item on your birthday list, and I got one for you.
Gee willikers, I'm embarrassed. I didn't expect you to get me one of those.
Well, Judy, I'm sure it's a good one. The sales lady tried it out. It looked like a beauty.
The sales lady? How long did she have it on?
Oh, not long. It only takes 5 minutes to warm it up. Yes. And it has a very special feature. It goes off automatically.
Sure hate to have that happen to me with a house full of company.
Judy, it has another nice feature. The bottom and the sides are lined with genuine Swedish steel.
Golly, there ain't much room for expansion there.
Well, you don't have to worry about that. It'll take care of an average-sized family.
Humphrey, ain't that stretching it a little? You know, I never heard of the kind you're talking about.
Well, don't worry. You won't have any trouble with it at all. All you have to do is butter it up the first time you use it.
Butter it up?
Yeah.
Butter it up.
Oh, and another thing, Judy. It's easy to flip over.
Gosh, I don't want to put it on inside out.
Well, Judy, the sales lady says it has a two-way control.
Well, that's what I like. I like that.
Sure. Sure, if guests come in unexpectedly, it'll always be ready if you keep the pilot light lit.
Humphrey Cooper, I've heard enough from you. No man can talk to me like that. Why,
oh, I remember that, Judy. What a mix-up it was. Poor Humphrey.
Yeah, Aunt Aggie. That kind of thing could never happen with my boyfriend Lukey back in Cactus Junction.
Why?
Oh, Lukey was the backward type. One day I asked him to fix a hook on the back of my dress. He was so bashful, he got a lump in his throat, and his Adam's apple got caught in my zipper. Oh, Luke, he doesn't sound very romantic, Judy. Oh, but he was Aunt Ag, in his own peculiar way. Why, just before I left Cactus Junction, he used to come over and see me every night. I remember one night when me and Lukey is on the front porch, sort of spooning like, you know. He leaned over and he says to me,
"Oh, by dingy dongies, Judy, it sure feels good a setting here."
Yeah. Look at the moon, Lukey. Ain't it pretty?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just coming up over the clothesline.
I know. I can just barely see it peeking through Grandpa's long underwear. Lukey, it's real romantical out here. Why don't you say something sweet and mushy?
Oh, no, it'll sound silly.
Oh, go ahead on, Lukey. Now, say something sweet and mushy.
Well, okay. Tutti Frutti Mud Pie. Oh.
Lukey, stop hanging your head. Look up at me a minute.
Well, I'm trying to, Judy, but I can't see you. I guess I need a haircut.
Lukey, why do you let your hair grow clean down over your face?
Oh, shucks, to save work. I can brush my hair and my teeth at the same time.
Lukey, when you say things like that, I can understand why Pa says you're a moron.
Well, he better be careful what he says. Us morons got friends in Washington.
Look, here comes that loudmouth Homer Spinkle from down the holler.
Shucks, what does he want to come butting in here for?
Step aside, you stupid... you stupid-looking spook!
A date with Lukey.
Certainly. I saw you spooning with it. Timer. As soon as my back is turned, I get it in a snoop.
I get it no matter which way I turn.
Why, Homer, we wasn't spooning.
Come here, son. Judy, let's leave this punk on the floor. I will beat on my scooter. We'll go to Springer's drugstore. Yeah, we'll get a straw and we'll split a special strawberry soda. Yeah, with pistachio. What do you say?
Thanks, Homer. Thanks, Homer, but I don't want to split a soda with pistachio.
You'll be sorry. I'll spend my spondulics on a patootie that appreciates me. I'll scoot down the Springers and pick out a pineapple pop.
Hold on. Judy. Judy, the story of your romances and romantic dreams certainly should make an interesting radio program.
Oh, thanks, Aunt Aggie.
In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it had the makings of a movie.
Oh, it has. It could be just like that movie everybody's talking about.
You mean Forever Amber?
No, Nightmare Alley.
Halo, everybody, halo. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair. So halo, everybody, halo.
Use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. Remember, even finest soaps and soap shampoos hide the natural luster of your hair with dulling soap film. But Halo contains no soap, therefore cannot leave dulling soap film. The first time you use Halo, your hair glistens in all its natural brilliance. The natural color and luster shine through like sunshine through a clean window pane. And remember, even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff and grease. Needs no lemon or vinegar rinse, because Halo leaves no dulling soap film. Nothing to hide your hair's natural beauty. Say hello to Halo, and goodbye to dulling soap film. Use Halo on your children's hair, too. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter. Remember, Halo glorifies your hair.
So Halo, everybody, Halo. Halo shampoo, Halo.
Now back to Judy Canova and the Sportsman and the sentimental ballad, It's Kind of Lonesome Out Tonight.
Wish I had a place to walk to. Wish there was a star inside. Wish I had a friend to talk to. It's kind of lonesome out to die. Wish it wasn't getting colder. Wish the moon would give some light. Wish my head could find the shoulder. It's kind of lonesome out tonight. At the passing lovers that slowly wander by, my heart shakes its head and whispers, how many times have I died? Wish I had some lips to bar.
Judy Canova Show is written by Fred Fox and Henry Hoople with John Ward and is produced and directed by Joe Rines. This is Howard Petrie asking you to use Halo shampoo to glorify your hair and the new 1948 Super Suds with extra suds for extra whiteness. Now here's Judy.
We're a little late, folks. Good night and a happy new year, everybody. Good night, Mama. Good night, Queen.
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. No other toothpaste does a better job of cleaning teeth. For Colgate's cleans teeth thoroughly, safely, brings out natural sparkle and beauty. And scientific tests prove conclusively that in 7 out of 10 cases, Colgate Dental Cream instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. So always use Colgate Dental Cream after you eat and before every date to clean your breath while you clean your teeth.
Stay tuned to Kay Kaiser with his Comedy of Errors and the College of Musical Knowledge, which follows immediately.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.